You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Feb 5, 2021, President Joe Biden sounding a dark note on the future of our economy. He says, looking at the numbers we have now, at this rate it's going to take 10 years to get back to full unemployment. To full employment. Maybe if you had not cut all those oil and gas jobs, we might have a better chance. But no, the blame is going to go to anyone but the president and the Dems at this point. Meanwhile, we're still battling COVID, still trying to get vaccine distributed. Some areas doing better than others as far as getting it around. Some of the reports of cases of COVID are going down. And North Korea still has to report a single case of disease. Not one case of COVID in North Korea. Or at least we're told that's the story. The World Health Organization reportedly reserving 2 million doses for North Korea. So some of the areas that are still needing doses, there are 2 million doses being held for North Korea, and they say they don't have any. Why are we holding it? Why are you holding it back? And, of course, it's based upon the fear of COVID that you've got the Chicago Teachers Union still not going to school. We're not going to teach. With a Chicago mayor and public school leader announcing today, quote, last, best, final offer. At the last report, the teachers union, no, I think we're winning here. We're not going to do anything. And the children are suffering. And it's going to hurt for many, many years to come. Should we take note of this? President Biden, got more contributions from teachers' unions than any other candidate during the 2020 election cycle. The same unions that are opposing opening the schools for in-person learning. He raked in $230,000 plus from teachers' unions. Oh, who got number two? Bernie Sanders. He only got $50,000. So the teachers' unions think, we've got a friend in the White House. He's going to protect us. Sanctuary State, Dateline, California. A man convicted of a double murder in the 90s now given parole. At a hearing, prosecutors were not allowed to attend. He shot and killed an 18-year-old and another guy at a party in 1988. He was convicted 3 years later. Was about to turn 18 at the time of the crime. Double murder conviction. And he's going to walk free. Chicago update, the deadliest January in 4 years. That's according to the Chicago Police Department. That city recording 51 murders last month. 51. The highest since 2017 when they had 52 murders. Last year, at the same time, 35. So 51 murders just last month. You think it's going to get better in Chicago? In the meantime, the Biden administration pushing on the Customs and Border Protection Agency, forcing them to start releasing newly arrived illegal immigrants back into the U.S., part of the catch and release. This is the first time since the surge of 2019. Customs and Border Protection have been compelled to follow that policy, so they're having to release them, and they're not vetting them or even checking them to see if maybe they might be carrying COVID or something else. And we've had more Iranians caught at the border trying to come across posing as Mexicans or Central Americans this year than we have previously. I told you jihadists would look for a way to get into this country. Why not use the open border or no border in the way of the Democrats moving forward? Hey, are you placing your bets for the Super Bowl game? There's a Texas furniture store chain owner, Jim Mattress Mack, Meganville. He's picking Tampa to win to cover a 3.5 spread. $3.4 million he's betting on them. $3.4 million. I think that's the biggest bet. I know it's a little bit more than what I'm putting down. Oh, you should know this. Within 24 hours of Hunter Biden announcing he has a new memorial, beautiful things coming out soon, it's already zoomed to the top of Amazon's listing. His book, Hunter Biden's book, already at the top of Amazon's listing. Listing reserved for Chinese biographies. I can't make this stuff up. Stand by for the rest of the hour.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, price $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Crazy for thinking that my love could hold you. I'm crazy for trying and crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
29 days ago, our nation's capital was attacked. That is the big story. And in that big story reside thousands of individual accounts, just as valid and important as the other.
Those are the words of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Congresswoman Democrat of New York, talking about the January 6th attack, and of course, stating that she was in fear for her life. You're going to hear more of it a little bit later. We spent some time on this in the last hour. If you missed the first hour, you still want to hear it. You don't have to hear it to understand where we're going with this hour, but you still want to hear it because there are different pieces of information presented in each hour. It's such a big story, I got to break it up. And I'm spending most of today's program on her claim and how it's being handled and pandered to by the Democrats, and being reshaped and retold to that you lose sense of any facts because they don't give a stink about your facts. Just go with her feely, touchy emotions. And by the way, if you dare mock her or make fun of her, you should know what's going to happen. She is already calling for anyone who hears somebody like Larry Connors or anyone else say something derogatory about her story and her to go immediately and seek revenge. Here's what the statement is. As we speak, right-wing operatives with millions of followers on social media are spreading flat-out lies and misleading information about Alexandria. But with your help, we can force Twitter and Facebook to take action and enforce their rules. Scan your local social media. Find posts with misleading information. Well, it's not hard to find this program. And I'm not going to change my view. I'm not going to be silent to the mob. I'm going to continue to tell you what I think. Don't believe in mob rule. But the problem is the mainstream media, as we've often called it, the MSM. That includes not just the mainstream cable outlets of CNN and NNN and MSNBC and so forth, but also the network channels. They are so bought in and sold in and wrapped up with the Democrats and the leftist movement right now because they are too afraid to go the other direction. That's what it comes down to. That's why you're not going to see any real journalism for a long period of time. Or if you do, that journalist will suddenly disappear. We're not quite to the level of Russia and North Korea and China where they're going to be taken out and shot, but we ain't far from it based on what we're seeing. Let me give you an example here. Now, keep in mind, AOC was telling this story about how she feared for her life. And when it first came out, I mean, it was a compelling story, and she's got a very good way of being dramatic, but it's all for drama. She is a drama queen, and she knows how to play it. But after I first saw it, I thought, if you'd asked me, Larry, do you think she's in real danger? I'd say, well, listen to that. Yeah, I guess she was. I would have thought she was inside the Capitol, on the House floor, or somewhere in the Capitol building. She wasn't. She wasn't. She was in a building about 8 to 10 minute walk away, the Cannon office building. And two doors down from her, Congresswoman Nancy Mace, Republican of South Carolina, said the way AOC is describing this, that's not the way I saw things going down. She's two doors away. Now, who do you think is making a play for drama? But anyway, let's go to CBS this morning. They had AOC on today to talk about, and here's the way they describe it, her near-death experience. Stop it right there. Near-death experience? Near-death? If anyone could claim near-death, it would be those inside the House chambers thinking that somebody was going to come in with a weapon, but no one did. Near death means you were facing death. She was never facing death. But the mainstream media just continues to push near-death experience. See, here's a problem. Too many times we throw out terms like that and they're just widely accepted because we buy into them. I have fought this for decades while I was serving as a news anchor. Someone will call a five-year-old a hero for saving mama because he picked up a phone and called 911. Will you give the kid credit for doing that? Yes, but a hero? In my opinion, you're only a hero if your life is in jeopardy when you save someone. That makes you a hero. If he's outside the house and knows his mom is in the house sleeping and he sees smoke and flames and he runs in and gets her out of the house in jeopardizing himself because the house is already on fire, then he would be a hero. But we just kind of throw the term around. So it means nothing when we have a real hero. And so here we have a case of a near-death experience. And CBS, the anchor setting this question up, oh, she's just another Oprah lookalike as far as her attitude and her approach and her whole feely, touchy thing. It's right out of Oprah. Listen to the question, just the question.
Congresswoman, I want to start with you because that day I remember it was so upsetting and so frightening just watching from the privacy and safety of in my kitchen. So to hear your very terrifying account of that horrible day was, in a word, just terrifying to hear the details. And I wonder if it's triggered all sorts of things for you, because I think sometimes when you speak about it, you're reliving it again. I'm wondering what the experience has been for you.
Did you hear that? I found it terrifying. Well, we all found it frightening, obviously, but she just goes on and on and talk about how it had to be really frightening for you. So let's pick it up again. I'm not going to interrupt it this time. Here's the question and the AOC response.
Congresswoman, I want to start with you because that day I remember it was so upsetting and so frightening just watching from the privacy and safety of in my kitchen. So to hear your very terrifying account of that horrible day was, in a word, just terrifying to hear the details. And I wonder if it's triggered all sorts of things for you, because I think sometimes when you speak about it, you're reliving it again. I'm wondering what the experience has been for you.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that we've learned, especially in counseling services offered to House members, is that telling our stories and retelling it, especially right after the events transpired, is a really important part to healing and getting through it. And so once we tell that story, and this applies to survivors of trauma all over the country, telling that story as many times as possible and giving that account, allowing yourself to move through that emotion, allowing yourself to revisit that fear and process it and then move past it is important. But yeah, there are lots of emotions. There's fear, there's anger at folks who attacked our nation's capital. There's frustration that this could have happened. But then there's also determination for us to never allow this to happen again.
I won't argue with a lot of the points she made, yeah, and I do know it's true because I've interviewed enough victims of a traumatic event that sometimes it helps them to tell the story, even to a television reporter. I understand that sometimes it does help. And everybody has to deal with such trauma in their own way. And it is correct that if you need help, you should get professional help. There's clearly there. And yeah, there's a lot of anger at what took place at the Capitol. I've been angry about it. I know many of you have. And we want to make sure it never happens again. So on part of it, I accept her story and her points. Although I will have to admit a bias on one point. I'm sorry. I cannot let this go by. I do not understand why so many on the left along the snowflake arena always have to end a sentence on an uplift, I should say. I'm looking at one of the things she was saying and looking from the transcript. She said it's an important part to healing and going through it. And this can't happen again. I mean, make a statement and quit playing around like that. Now, here's the real issue. Her story the other day that gave us the impression she was in the midst of surrounded by all these folks roaming through the Capitol. I think somebody has now put the number at 800. May have been. I'm not disputing it. There were hundreds outside on the Capitol steps. They did not go inside. And there were hundreds and hundreds and thousands of more who never even went down to the Capitol. So you can't hold all of them responsible. Therefore, you can't claim Trump is responsible, and part of this was already underway while he was still speaking. But all of that aside, when you get someone like AOC come out and start telling about how frightened she was, yeah, it catches attention, gets a lot of headlines. More drama for the drama queen. So take her story and balance it against the statement of Congresswoman Nancy Mace, Republican of South Carolina, that was just two doors down from the same office where AOC was, not in the Capitol Hill Dome, but in the Cannon Office Building. Here is Congresswoman Nancy Mace, Republican, South Carolina.
Well, I lean on facts and not fiction. And when I saw the media reports of how it was being portrayed, I said, this is dishonest. There weren't rioters in our hallways banging down our doors that day. We were all barricaded in our offices in Cannon Office Building. I'm not going to discount the trauma, the harrowing experiences each of us had who were here that day. It was a very scary experience. And I've been very open with people about it. I sent my kids home that week because I was worried about violence that might transpire on that Wednesday, January 6th.
So she's not discounting any trauma. That's a personal type thing. And admitted it was scary. But she's two doors down from AOC. Contrast that to what AOC, as how she described what happened the date of January 6th.
When all of a sudden I hear that whoever was trying to get inside got into my office. And then I realize that it's too late. That it's too late for me to get into the closet. And so I go back in and I hide back in the bathroom behind the door. And then I just start to hear these yells of, where is she? And I just hear, where is she? Where is she? And this was the moment where I thought everything was over. My brain was able to have so many thoughts in that moment, between these screams and these yells of, where is she? Where is she? And so I go down and I thought I was going to die.
That's an impressive statement. That's what she said the other day. And you listen to that and you think, my God, the woman was right in the middle of the Capitol dome and where they were come breaching through the door. She was not in the Capitol. She was in the Cannon office building. And you heard Congresswoman Nancy Mace, two doors down from her, say, it's a scary experience, but what she describes is not exactly true. She said, Congresswoman Mace said, I own facts, not fiction. I want you to hear more from Congresswoman Mace when we continue. And also, something else AOC did the other day in telling this story, she brought up a story that she had been raped at one point. Why would she do that? What? And I don't like what I might connect to this story. Please stand by and you'll hear me.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We have to be honest when we're telling these stories, because otherwise, if we're dishonest or we exaggerate claims, then it waters down the truth and the authenticity of everyone else that has shared their stories to this date as well. And the American people deserve to know the truth. And the truth is that the Cannon office building is a 7 to 10 minute walk away from the Capitol Dome, where the violence was happening, where five people did die on Capitol Hill that day. And so, to politicize this kind of an event, that was a dark day in our nation's history, to politicize it in the way that she has is disgusting. No one should tolerate it. Certainly not going to.
In the way she described it is disgusting. That is, again, Congresswoman Nancy Mace, Republican of South Carolina, referring to AOC's, quote, dishonest account of what happened on January 6th. Where she tells a story that she was fearing for her life and she was just right in the midst of it. But that was the impression. But she was just two doors down from Congresswoman Mace, you just heard, in the Cannon office building, which again, Congresswoman Mace said that's a 7 to 10 minute walk away from the dome where violence was happening. And her point here, we have to be honest when we're telling these stories. If we're dishonest, we exaggerate, then it waters down the truth and authenticity of everyone else, and that it does. Which brings me to something else AOC did the other day. I have two daughters. And, of course, a mother when she was alive, and two sisters who are still living. And any man that has a sister, a mother, wife, girlfriend, you'd want them to be raped. And when they are, you want to listen. You want to help them deal with it. Well, AOC decided the other day to wrap up a rape story, which she said it happened, I'm not even sure when she put a time frame on it, earlier in her life. And she used this, talking about the threat she faced at the Capitol, kind of roll into the rape story. And why is still in a question in my mind. Was it, again, to embellish the other? And as we already know, she's already made up facts on the January 6th. Is this a true story, or is this something else just trying to get more sympathy? And if so, what a shameful way, because it hurts other women when they are true victims. Here's AOC explaining it.
We all bring our whole selves, and we all bring our full experiences. And when we encounter such a terrifying moment, we respond with the entirety of our life experience. And so I felt that for transparency to people, to understand why I was responding in the way that I did on the 6th, I had to share what I was bringing with me, part of what I was bringing with me that day.
Well, it's her statement. I have no way to challenge it. If it happened the way she said, and she and the rape was true, and I don't know if it was attempted or it was a final event, I don't know. But I really hope she did not just decide, let's pull this card out and put it with the January 6th thing, and I'll get more attention and more sympathy and play more drama. I hope I'm wrong about that. I truly do. In my way of thinking, if she either made it up or decided to embellish it or just thought this would add to explaining her experience, did you have to have an explanation as to why she might have felt fear that day, that you had to go back and recount a rape if it happened? I don't think you had to. It's her thought, her process, and I'm not even attempting to get into her mind. But I think of all the women, she just did a disservice if she just kind of decided to roll it in and use it as a prop in her story. Note this, U.S. Congresswoman Lauren Boebert, Republican in Colorado, now has a Washington, D.C. concealed carry permit. And, of course, House Speaker Pelosi on January 28th said, House members who carry guns for self-defense are, quote, the enemy within. The enemy within. We'll take a break when we come back. Wait till you hear how Don Lemon Fruitcake and Chris Cuomo go through this story. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The story that I'm telling you about is when I got blown up in Iraq with my cameraman on this MP mission that we were with the military police in Ghazalia, south of Baghdad. Here's my point. You go after AOC for her fear, saying it was illegitimate. She was in the adjacent building. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. No. She knew she was under attack. She was running. She heard people saying, where is she? Where is she? She didn't know who those people were. Exactly. Why am I using my experience? Because when we were on that patrol, and they stopped us by these bodies, and this captain was explaining to me that they're often weaponized, and people started firing at us, a lot of fire. They detonated the bodies. It blew over the Humvee in front of us. People were screaming. All this gunfire was all over the place. Don, I swear I thought I was a dead man.
Yep.
I was haunted for weeks after that. I heard the screaming. I heard shouts of pain, gunfire. I couldn't move because of the position that we were in after the explosion, and I thought somebody was going to stick their weapon in the turret, circular fire, and was over. My cameraman, Bartley Price, and I were looking at each other, and we thought it was over, okay? We were wrong. The voices I heard were our troops communicating, killing the insurgents, calling in tank fire, and controlling the whole situation. But they couldn't talk to me because they were busy.
Those are the words of CNN anchor Chris Cuomo, using his story to defend AOC's emotional telling of her experience the other day. First of all, I don't question Cuomo's story. I don't have any reason to. He named someone else who was there with him at the time, and supposedly that happened just like he said. And I'm sure if it went down as he described it, that was extremely frightening, and he probably did think, I'm a dead man. I'm not taking that away from him at all. He was there. I wasn't. And he's also talking about the fog of war in the sense that you've got all this yelling and shouting going on, and you don't know if you're hearing yells and gunfire from the enemy or friends and supporting troops. You don't know at that point. It's all understandable. I wouldn't do anything to detract from that story if it went down just as he said it did, and I have no reason to doubt that it did. The problem is, as he's trying to make a leap with that and say that explains why AOC said she was running, heard people saying, where is she, where is she? She didn't know who they were, and that's why I'm using my experience. But he nailed it in the beginning when he said, here's my point. You go after AOC for her fear, saying it was illegitimate. She was in the adjacent building. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. Well, I can't say if her fear was legitimate or not. But when she told her story, she knew she was not in the Capitol. All she had to do is say, I was not actually in the Capitol that was being stormed, but still in the Cannon office building. 7, 8, 9 minute walk away, I was frightened. She's entitled to that. I would have no problem with that. You heard Congresswoman Mace a moment ago say, yeah, it was a frightening situation. But she added the caution, the fact that if you take the fact and you embellish it, you exaggerate, you blow it up, you kind of reschedule it and rewrite it, then you have lost credibility. And then for those who are trying to tell an accurate story, no one knows what is true and what isn't. And while Cuomo was going through what he experienced, and again, I'm not challenging it, but I remind you of a story told by Brian Williams, who was an NBC News anchor. He was with a camera crew in Iraq in 2003. And he was speaking at a New York Rangers hockey game, paying tribute to a retired soldier, and was thanking him for protecting them after their helicopter was forced down by enemy fire. Turned out it was not true. It didn't happen. He did apologize on the air, and eventually that was January 30, and by Feb 7, he was announcing a brief absence from anchoring NBC News, and eventually he was dropped. He was in 2003 in Iraq covering the U.S. invasion. He and his crew were riding in a Chinook helicopter. Another group of three Chinooks were flying in formation, and one of those helicopters got hit by an RPG and forced down. The other two in formation also made emergency landings. And so when Williams' helicopter caught up, they also landed. Not clear if they did because of the emergency landings or a sandstorm rolling in, but either way, they were stuck on the ground for several days. But Brian Williams was indicating our helicopter got hit by a rocket fire. And he told the story repeatedly. He told it on a David Letterman appearance March 2013. Two of our four helicopters were hit by ground fire, including the one I was in, RPG and AK-47. He told it on Alec Baldwin's podcast at the time. In a blog, he did it again. And it was a total lie. They were saying, well, I might have been confused. I thought we were hit. Maybe one of the others. If you're in the helicopter and you're hit, do you not think you know that yours was hit? Even if you've never been in that situation, don't you think you would know? Even in the fog of war. But Don Lemon Fruitcake and Chris Cuomo are doing everything they can to cover for AOC and her embellishment of a story. The fact is, the Capitol was under attack on January 6th. The fact is, some were killed and some died natural deaths. And the fact is, AOC was not in the Capitol. She was in the Cannon office building several minutes away, 8, 9, 10 minutes, however you want to go do it. But she's entitled to be frightened, but when she starts telling it as she did, she doesn't add any factual context. She adds drama. And yet here's Don Lemon offering her a way out.
I don't understand why this is a story. How is she supposed to know who's on the other side of the door? How is she supposed to know how many people were on the other side of the door? I'm just saying, this has nothing to do with anything, AOC or whatever. But how, I kept trying to figure out how the people who were actually involved in that siege and all the chaos could be criticizing someone else who was involved in it because she was explaining how what she thought was going on in her particular situation.
She can explain her own thoughts. I mean, again, it's her thoughts, her belief. But, of course, what they're really leading up to, as Don Lemon will pick up part of his story again and Cuomo jumps in, they say this was with the attacks on AOC and her embellishment of the fact and maybe pure fiction was really meant to be a Republican switcheroo.
It was just flat-out partisanship and a distraction to Marjorie Taylor Greene.
They're going after Democrats because the Democrats going after one of theirs. I'm telling you, Mr. Noise Pollution over there at State TV and the others, they want to frame the Democrats for January 6th. They've been leaking it out all these different ways that there's an untold story, that this was a setup. It's all BS and their toxicity. And I'll tell you what, you just heard Katie Porter say AOC was freaked out.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I lived a situation like that. And it doesn't have to be real, the threat, for you to believe it's imminent.
You believe. And let me tell you something. Let them do it because they look like idiots.
All right. Again, so AOC freaked out. That's no surprise to me. I mean, I could see her freaking out because her nail color is different. I have no idea what freaked the woman out. But we'll allow her to freak out over this event. But tell the facts. Just put the facts in. I want to make it clear, I was not in that building. Like Brian Williams could have said, I need to make it clear, I was not in the helicopter that got hit. But he didn't. And then for them to say it was a distraction to the Marjorie Taylor Greene. Of course, that's when members of the House were deciding to boot her from two committee assignments because before she ever became a congresswoman, she liked some things that she saw on the Facebook and they've been used against her. Talk about taking something and using it for partisanship. Senator Cotton of Arkansas said Republicans had an opportunity for doing the same thing if they had wanted, but that's not the way they thought things should be done. Senator Cotton.
Remember, it was a Bernie Sanders supporter who showed up in Alexandria, Virginia, and shot Steve Scalise and almost killed him and tried to commit mass murder against congressional Republicans and would have done so if it hadn't been for the bravery and quick action of Capitol police officers who were there at that ballpark. When it was discovered that that was a Bernie Sanders supporter, it was out of the news within 24 hours, not something that can be discussed. And frankly, a lot of Republicans didn't discuss it either because he was plainly a crazy person. And there was not an effort by Republicans writ large to leverage that kind of extremist violence or extremist rhetoric from a fringe of the left against mainstream Democratic liberals.
And neither should they. But he said if we had wanted to make some kind of noise out of that, this was a legitimate, not a threat, but an actual attempt to kill members of Congress, Republican members. And the guy doing it was a Bernie Sanders supporter. He said that little part of the fact got dropped out of the news within 24 hours. They just don't discuss it. And he said Republicans didn't really want to discuss it either. It's a crazy person. And they did not want to use that as some kind of rhetoric against the Democrats because that did not describe all Democrats. However, the Democrats had no problem with doing such a thing. Story of a real dangerous story that Senator Cotton shared, coming up.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Let me start by telling a story. It's a story I told in my book, Sacred Duty. Anyone who's been to Arlington National Cemetery knows that the planes fly over it into Reagan National every couple of minutes. And when I perform funerals there, you might have 10 or 15 planes fly over, always on the same north to south path. But on the morning of 9/11, it was a little different. Soldiers had just finished the 9 a.m. funeral, and they'd hitched their horses to one of the cemetery's hitching posts, and they saw a plane flying a very different path. And they watched it slam into the Pentagon, which is just a couple hundred yards away from the cemetery. That happened, Alex. Islamic terrorists flew that plane into the Pentagon, and they flew planes into the Twin Towers. Wasn't a hoax. Wasn't an inside job. Republicans cannot indulge claims that it didn't happen. And just like we shouldn't accept conspiracy theories that mass murders at schools were false flags or that a Jewish space laser caused wildfires in California, what did that was ill-advised liberal environmental policies. Our party stands with Israel. We stand for the U.S.-Israel alliance, and we shouldn't tolerate anti-Semitic tropes.
Now, that story told by Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas is a day of real fright for our entire nation. And again, that's not detracting from what many people felt January 6th, because we weren't sure what was going to happen next. When all the dust settled, there was obviously a clear difference. But they still stand out. And the fact that the event in the Capitol involved Americans, that's it taking, breaking through, assaulting police officers, that's not to be forgiven. But when we had the left, members like AOC, and getting support from Don Lemon Fruitcake and Chris Cuomo and Anderson Cottonmouth and the rest of them, they're not helping bring our country together. They're simply being divisive. You had to form a side. You either believe her or you don't. Well, I don't really believe her, in fact. I'll give her allowance for what she says or her feelings and so forth, but I don't know if that happened. And then, unfortunately, that takes me to the other story she tried to shove under the door at the same time about a time she had been raped. And again, if the woman was a victim of rape, I feel for her and I'm sorry for her. But if she just thought it would be something cute to kind of add to the story and thereby damage the story of women who have actually been that victimized, shame. Unfortunately, a lot on the left don't really understand shame because they don't have a sense of not just right and wrong, but a sense that that's not a good thing to do. I've done some things in my life I'm ashamed of. I need to sit down with my grandson someday and kind of talk to them about it. Maybe show them you can still change your life after you've had an event that maybe you shouldn't have been involved in and you were wrong, but it won't go away. And those who have faced a trauma like being in war or like even AOC, if I'm going to allow her that maybe at that moment she did fear her for life because she knew she thought for the most part they were Trump supporters and probably most were, and she feared that they would come for her. And if there was someone in their office hollering, where is she, where is she? She didn't know it was a Capitol Police officer looking to find her and get her out. But once you realize it, once you realize what the facts are and everything, can you not deal with the truth and the facts instead of what can I do to make myself look more vulnerable and that I was a victim? And yet she said in her own thing, she said, we want to get people from not being victims. Well, you're encouraging victimhood like this. And then we get to a situation that involves Senator Gates of Florida, Republican, Matt Gaetz. He was requesting for their committee, chaired by the House Judiciary Committee Chair, Jerry Nadler, asking, why don't we recite the Pledge of Allegiance when we open each event? It would be kind of a nice gesture, wouldn't it? Nadler's response, it's unnecessary. We begin the full House each day with a text. There's no need to do it twice. Okay. But then later, apparently some words were exchanged between other Democrats joking about Gates requesting that, including Congressman Steve Cohen, who talked about Gates' request. He said, kind of like it's kind of like ducking under school tables during Cold War era nuclear bomb drills, right? And then Congresswoman Cori Bush, Democrat of Missouri, claiming the pledge a white supremacist symbol. Congressman Gates said, in these times when our country needs to see that Republicans and Democrats can do something together, that we can come together in some ways, I just thought it'd be a nice gesture before debating some admittedly divisive issues. And it turned into be something that was going to be mocked and even vilified. I'll remind you that we are now have a listing at YouTube, Larry Connors USA YouTube. Look to Larry Connors USA Facebook, and you'll find a direct link. Make it very easy for you. Go to Larry Connors USA Facebook. You can link. You can subscribe. Get it all for free. We're just beginning. We're going to be building it out bit by bit. I appreciate you subscribing and appreciate your comments and your support. Enjoy your weekend. And I would say, do not forget our pledge. One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.